what's up? Welcome back to another episode of 200 and Counting. I'm your host, Tia Hill. And this week's episode, I am hyped to talk about it because this is a documentary that I really did not like. I struggled to watch the entire documentary, but I did it because I was like, I want to do an episode on it because everybody's talking about it. Everyone's like, oh, it's so good. I'm so shook. Whatever. Let's talk about it. It's called The Social Dilemma.
What I want people to know is that everything they're doing online is being watched, is being tracked. Every single action you take is carefully monitored and recorded.
So The Social Dilemma, it's new. It's like, as of the time of this recording, it's number 6 on Netflix. Really, really popular right now. And it's a brand new documentary. It's all about social media and technology and the internet and how we're all addicted to our phones. And it's so bad. It's so scary. Oh my gosh. Everyone's been talking about how good it is. And I really feel like everybody's been gassing it. And I know I usually save my opinion till the very, very end and I give you all a rating and everything. But I want you to know going into it that I feel so strongly about this documentary. I had to force myself to go back and get through watching this entire thing because I was like, oh my gosh, like I actively did not want to finish it because in the first, I don't even know, 10, 15 minutes, I was like, this is going to be some nonsense and a waste of my time. And it was. The description that they have on Netflix for this documentary describes it as a quote, documentary drama hybrid that explores the dangerous human impact of social networking with tech experts sounding the alarm on their own creations. So they describe it as a documentary drama hybrid. I did not know that when I went into watching it. And I just want to say, I was really excited for this documentary to come out because I kept seeing ads for it. I love docs that are about technology or about social media or any kind of modern discussion because I think it's really cool to have intellectuals all come together and talk about it. So with that being said, you should know going into it, there are these weird dramatic scenes where people are acting like built into the documentary. So the documentary is giving you the information about social media. It's giving you the information about technology and how it's ruining our lives or whatever. But at the same time, it cuts back to actors and it's following a family of 3 kids and like the 2 parents. And they're like a beautiful blended family thing, trying to be like woke and progressive, but not too much. So notice the black dad only speaks in 1 scene, but whatever.
You keep freaking mom out about our phones when it's not really a problem.
Don't use it for a week.
Like starting now.
Starting now.
The whole premise of these people is that the mom is trying to get the kids to stop going on social media so much. There's like the one son who is struggling not to use his phone. The way they're describing it, you think this kid is on heroin or something. He is like losing sleep over it. At one point, the mom is like, okay, you're not going to use your phone for a week. And then he sneaks down in the middle of the night after like 18 hours or something. And he's like, oh my gosh, I just have to check my notifications, which is weird because it's like you could just go on your computer and go to Instagram.com. But of course, he's using some like nameless social media app. It was so much. And intercut between the stories of the family, there are these weird scenes that are 2 men in a room in a basement. Not a basement, it's like a technical sci-fi looking lab thing. And they're supposed to be the ones controlling the algorithm and it's supposed to illustrate how the algorithm like gets you to do things. And it's like, oh, he did this thing and let's, you know, put an ad in there. It was just like, it was really, really, really lame.
I've tried notifying him about tagged photos, invitations, current events, all of them, and then nothing.
Bam, we're back.
And I guess they were trying to be relatable or whatever and be like, oh, if we include like real life kids, like parents can relate because they'll know what it's like. Kids can relate because they can't stay off their phone. Darn kids. But I just feel like either give me the information or don't. But don't try and make it dramatic to make it relatable. I do not care about this random family. The audience is not going to care about a random family or what happens to them because you're just like, who is this kid and why can't he put his phone down? And also the kid's supposed to be a teenager, which I did not even realize how they were all related because they all looked like adults except for the youngest daughter. The documentary is mainly centered around the idea of all of these tech people who had like created all of this technology, almost all of whom are white, by the way. You do not see a black person come in for, I actually wrote it down, 57 minutes. 57 minutes, I saw the first black person talking head and she had her moment. I don't know. I just thought it was interesting, not even in a shady way, but it was just like, that's the first thing that I noticed because I was like, I already don't feel seen in this, but it also really paints a picture of who is creating all of the technology and all of the social media apps that we are using. I was like, all right, bet. So that's who's behind it. They do kind of touch on it. They're like, you know, there's like however many white guys in Silicon Valley making decisions for billions and billions of people, which like this just like really highlighted it because you could see the faces behind all of our favorite apps and pieces of tech.
I was the co-inventor of the Facebook like button.
I was the president of Pinterest,
Google,
Twitter,
Instagram.
There were meaningful changes happening around the world because of these platforms.
I think we were naive about the flip side of that coin.
But we see these people, we see these veterans in the tech field coming on screen talking about, oh, I used to work at Facebook or Google or Instagram, and I feel really bad for helping to create the technology that everybody's addicted to. Whoops. So I'm going to sit here and tell you about how bad it is. Like, on the one hand, they still created the technology. On the other hand, if it wasn't them, it would have been someone else. So I'm not even that mad at them per se, but it was just like very, very strange. There were a lot of just like ex-tech employees who did a really good job at describing the thing that they built and why it was addicting. But it also left me with more questions than it gave me answers, because I'm already kind of questioning the ethos of the people who they presented to me to present this whole documentary, and I'm looking at them sideways. My main problem with this doc is that it's not original. It's literally nothing special. It's just repackaged information that's trying to be super accessible and super mainstream. They use a bunch of buzzwords to try to get you to be afraid about something, but like, it's not clear enough what it is that you should be focusing on. Is it social media being super toxic and addicting? Is it technology being super bad and addicting? They don't really talk about surveillance. You know, we're all sitting at home during a pandemic. Like, unfortunately, my screen time is way up. It's way, way up. So I don't know what to tell you, man. There are so many documentaries that cover this issue better in a way that's not as glossy. And clearly the message did not resonate with people because everybody's on social media talking about it, which the doc was supposed to convince us not to want to use. A lot of what they talk about, though, that was interesting was the fact that a lot of people in Silicon Valley took psychology classes to try and learn about why people do things and how to make people continue to do things that you want them to do. And then they applied those same principles to the technology that they were building to try to make it addicting.
They know when people are lonely. They know when people are depressed. They know when people are looking at photos of your ex-romantic partners,
whether you're an introvert or an extrovert, or what kind of neuroses you have, what your personality type is like.
On the one hand, people were like, you know, they're not bad people. They're not trying to make you addicted. They're just trying to make money. But they never said capitalism is at the root of this. They never used the word capitalism. They were just like, for some reason, the business model, like, we can't blame the CEOs and the people who invented the technology. It's not them. It's just this weird economic system that we're not going to name.
We're seeing corporations using powerful artificial intelligence to outsmart us and figure out how to pull our attention toward the things they want us to look at rather than things that are most consistent with our goals and our values and our lives.
One interesting thing that they started out talking about was a man named Tristan Harris, and he talked about ethical design in technology.
I was a design ethicist at Google, where I studied how do you ethically steer people's thoughts? Because what we don't talk about is a handful of people working at a handful of technology companies, through their choices, will steer what a billion people are thinking today. Because when you pull out your phone and they design how this works, it's scheduling little blocks of time in our minds. It schedules you to have thoughts that maybe you didn't intend to have.
He felt while working at Google that they had a moral obligation to the billions and billions of people that use their website to make sure that they're designing an app that has people's best interests at heart. And that is a really, really good point. You know, you think a lot of times like these companies are just in it for the money. So do they have any obligations? But then you also think about how like Google has a monopoly pretty much on search engines. I personally have not gone on Bing since 2008, and that was for the novelty of it. You know, there's only one Twitter. There's only one Instagram. They have a monopoly on that kind of thing. And Facebook owns Instagram. So Facebook owns so much of what it is that we do. So this guy kind of talks about how they in the tech world have this obligation. He made this whole keynote presentation and then it got up to the CEO and then they never did anything about it. And so he was just kind of like, okay. But what bothered me was they shot this too much like a movie. I feel like when documentaries are not overproduced per se, but when it's like shot to look like a movie with all these weird B-roll scenes and stuff in the middle, I'm like, do you not have enough information? Because if you cut away all the drama and you just kept the meat of the documentary, it could have been a 20-minute YouTube video, like legit. Some of the main focal points they talk about in terms of social media was engagement, advertising, and algorithms. And it was on the most basic level. You know, they talk about how a lot of these apps want to try to keep you on there for as long as possible, because the longer you're on these apps, the more data they can gather on you. And the more ads they can show you, the more accurate the ads will be. So the more likely you are to interact with the ads, buy the product, etc., etc.
Exactly what image you stop and look at, for how long you look at it. Oh yeah, seriously, for how long you look at it.
That is interesting. Now, I could also name quite a few other documentaries and quite a few other sources you could go to get that same information and actually get like next steps or the why behind it and not just the straight up information. One very, very important quote though that stood out to me was, if you're not paying for the product, then you are the product. I was like, damn, because Google is free, but what's really free? They also talk about how social media is making teens depressed. Basically, any headline you've seen about social media in the past year, they threw it into this. They also really, really forced like news from 2020 into the top of this. And in the middle, there was literally a scene where it's just TikToks going back and forth. And they clearly were just like, let's just include something to make it timely. And they just threw that in there. And then actually I was on TikTok recently and I saw this girl talking about how her TikTok was used in the documentary about coronavirus conspiracy theories. And they kept her handle in there, but she made the TikTok as a joke, but they left it in there. And so I'm assuming she was getting all sorts of crazy messages when the actual documentary came out. So I was like, well, that's just an interesting little tidbit.
In the 24 hours that it was up, Netflix managed to screen record it and include my handle and put me in a documentary, but they only used the part of the video where I was talking about the theory, and they didn't include the part where I was talking about how ridiculous it was. And so now everyone thinks I'm a coronavirus conspiracy theorist.
I don't like when documentaries are too timely, because it's like, this is a feature-length film and you're telling me that like last week you went on YouTube and you ripped this footage to put in your feature-length film? Okay, buddy. The documentary, though, felt very sensationalized to me. It felt like it wasn't even really giving me any information. I haven't really given you a clear view of what this documentary is about. It's because it was just a bunch of buzzwords. I think that if you haven't watched any documentaries about social media ever, it is a good start. But it is not going to give you all of the information that you actually need to combat this and make healthier choices when it comes to how you engage online and how you engage on social media. One thing that they did bring up, though, that I do think is very, very important, is they talked about how Google gives you different search results based on where you live. That was the most interesting part, actually. That was it.
When you go to Google and type in climate change is, you're going to see different results depending on where you live and the particular things that Google knows about your interests.
That's not by accident. That's a design technique.
But that's also 50 minutes into the documentary where I was like, okay, now we're getting somewhere. They talk about how everyone has their own reality on social media. And they include a quote from The Truman Show, which was, we accept the reality of the world in which we're presented. And basically, we all live in information bubbles. So whoever you follow, whatever it is you like, whatever it is you watch, you're going to be keep being served those things. In many instances, the algorithm knows you better than you know yourself. And so it's going to keep giving you things that it knows that you like because it knows what you like. And so then that creates a cycle where people are only around people who believe the same things as them, which can be a bad thing, as we saw, whether it's with the election or just with different ideas in general. You know, if you're only around people who think the same thing you do, you're automatically going to think people on the other side or who don't agree with you are like completely crazy, when that is not always necessarily the case. This goes for both sides of the political aisle. However, that is one thing that did stand out to me, is that this documentary is so neutral. It is so neutral. They very, very clearly do not want to take a side on the political stuff in the way that they handle it. On the one hand, I think that at a certain point, things are just morally wrong. But on the other hand, I think to an extent, it's good that it's moderate, because I think no matter what someone's political affiliation is, if they watch this documentary, they could be convinced, maybe I need to like read other sources or do different things online. In the drama part of the documentary that they kept freaking shoving in there with the boy's story of him being addicted to his phone, there's a point where like he starts being radicalized online watching this vlogger, but they won't say what the political movement is. It's like a generic ass political movement called Extreme Center. They're saying just generic buzzwords. He goes to a protest and they're literally chanting, open up your eyes, don't believe the lies, which could literally mean anything. That could be on either side of the aisle. It's so fucking moderate. It was like honestly lame. Like it was like some boomer shit. Like, you know, somebody was just like, let's add social justice in here because that's trendy, you know? On the side of the actual commentators, they actually get into like the meat of the issues of social media an hour into the doc, and then they don't even name it. They talk about Pizzagate.
A North Carolina man arrested in a DC pizza shop after brandishing a gun, telling police he was there to investigate a conspiracy theory called Pizzagate,
which was something that happened as a result of the spreading of the conspiracy theory QAnon. And they could have gone so deep into it, but they didn't, and they held back. And I thought that that was a little bit interesting, but kind of alarming, because then, you know, someone who believes that could still watch this, but not be so uncomfortable that they'll turn it off. But then on the other hand, it's like, are we living in an age where everything has to be so moderate and walking on eggshells, and we can't make statement about what is morally right and wrong, and that's the only way we can like lure people into watching things. I don't know. They mention coronavirus a lot. They shove in random TikToks, like I was saying. Like, it was just really, really all over the place. I feel like if you watch this documentary already and you walked away from it and you were like, wow, this is so deep, I beg of you, I beg of you, watch another documentary. There's a great doc that I plan to do an episode on. It's coming up in the next few weeks to a month or so, called Terms and Conditions May Apply. I would highly recommend that you check it out. That is a good documentary about the internet and about how they're watching you. And it's from 7 years ago, but it's very, very, very informative. That is something to watch. This is just something to have on in the background. This did not teach me a damn thing. It was a waste of my time. It was like pulling teeth to watch this. The drama, the quote unquote drama that they had going on in the back with the kid who's addicted to his phone, and they're trying to be like, oh, a girl like asked him to hang out and he said no because he's just addicted to his phone. No, the kid's just like a loser. And I don't mean that in like a, oh, bully him type of way. I just mean like the like, what? Yes, we go on our phones a lot. And yes, they said statistically now kids today are less likely to have their driver's license, less likely to have been in relationships in high school, less likely to have done all of these things. But I don't know. I was just like, they're gassing it. Like, it was just very, very weird that they had this weird over dramatized thing. It also really bothered me that they never talked about any political issues because they had to be so middle of the road about it. They brushed over the possibility that Russia interfered in the election. And then even then they said something like, you know, Russia wasn't trying to interfere. They were just trying to stir up unrest or something like that. And they use examples from all of these other countries around the world, but they don't ever use the example of the United States, even though we all know that that is probably the case. Towards the end of the documentary, one of the commentators says something like, I don't think these tech guys set out to be evil. It's just the service model. Like, okay, buddy. And they keep blaming the economic model. They never say it's capitalism. It just like, this documentary did not stand for anything. It didn't stand for anything. It literally just regurgitated random buzzwords to you to make you nervous about something that you can't even put your finger on what it is. It doesn't even offer any solution as to what to do or how to be a little bit safe or how to be a little bit, you know, more savvy online. They didn't talk about the actual effects it has on people. They had a bunch of people who were much, much older than the generation they were talking about talk down and explain everything. While they did say, you know, some of the adults were like, oh, I'm addicted to my email, which is like, okay. It's weird to me when people say they're addicted to their email because I have such an aversion to checking my emails that I cannot imagine that lifestyle, but okay. And then they're like, but Gen Z, they're all depressed and sad because they had social media in middle school. And it's like, maybe, but I don't know, offer some solutions. Maybe interview somebody who is of that age. They kind of do, but just about a screen time, which is high, and so is everyone. Interesting thing that they brought up, but they did not even elaborate on, which bothered me. But I do think something that's interesting is that they did talk about how the younger you are and the more exposed you are to social media and having to compare yourself, that makes it harder for you to develop as a stable teenager because you're dealing with so many outside influences. I don't think that it's terrible. I do think, yes, it is entertaining. I can understand if you watched it and you feel like, damn, like this is so crazy, because it is crazy. All I left with was a feeling of paranoia that, to be honest, I already had going into it because that's just how I am. But it didn't do enough to make me not want to use social media. If I'm gonna watch a documentary about social media, I had better walk away from that feeling like I want to delete my Instagram like ASAP. You know what I mean? Not just like, dang, that's crazy, but I'm gonna still log back on right after this to talk to my friends. It didn't really offer any solutions. It didn't take it there to the next step. It felt very rushed. And I think a lot of these documentaries that are about things that are happening right now don't do more to take it to the next level. They don't reach any conclusion. They don't really, really tell you anything except for just gathering information that you could just find yourself. I feel like it was a documentary that lives in your mind for a very short amount of time, maybe a week, and then you don't think about it. If I were you and I wanted to watch a documentary about the internet. If you haven't watched this yet, do not watch it. Don't waste your time. It was like pulling teeth trying to watch this. I truly only did it for the episode of this podcast. I don't even want to add it to my list because it felt like such a waste of time. But if you are looking to learn about this same topic, I would recommend two things. I would recommend the documentary Terms and Conditions May Apply. I wouldn't say it's like a 5-star documentary at all, but it is very, very, very informative. And I would also recommend the New York Times podcast, The Rabbit Hole, because it just talks about people who have gone down the rabbit hole of the internet. And it's interesting. posting. It talks to people in the communities. It talks to people who are in their early 20s talking about, yeah, I feel like I'm addicted to my phone. This is what I do all day. And it gives you actually more information and more insight into the topic rather than just kind of talking around it. The Social Dilemma reminds me of this old documentary, Zeitgeist. When I first watched Zeitgeist, right, like I was a freshman in college in 2013 and I was like, wow, this is so crazy, whatever. And then when I went back and I rewatched it, I was like, they're not actually saying anything. They're saying things, but they're not actually saying anything. You know, that's how this felt. They brought out a bunch of random buzzwords about why social media is addicting. They talk about random current events and then they're like, there you go. And it's designed to just kind of get you in a tizzy without actually teaching you anything. I didn't learn anything. I'm not walking away from this with more knowledge. I'm walking away from this a little bit irritated, if I'm being honest, you know? So yeah, I would recommend Terms and Conditions May Apply and The Rabbit Hole if you're really, really trying to learn something for real, but not The Social Dilemma. Overall, after I just ragged on that documentary for a very, very long time, overall, I would have to give this 2 stars. 2 stars. The only reason that it's even getting a second star was because I've watched some documentaries that are 1-star documentaries and I would say it's not that bad. But this, like, I was groaning. Like, I audibly groaned watching this. I hate the dramatic scenes. They have this weird musical sequence at one point with, like, dramatic B-roll. I was like, I cannot do this. I cannot do this. The acting was horrible. There should not have been any acting because it's a documentary. And I think that they just took advantage of the fact that we all have a bunch of time on our hands and everybody's scared and the election's coming up and we have coronavirus, so they just put out this crap and it doesn't even make any sense. 2 stars. Would not recommend that you watch. I wouldn't even say watch for a laugh because it is not funny. But I will say stay tuned in the next few weeks because I want to do an episode of the podcast about Terms and Conditions May Apply, and that is actually very, very, very informative. So that's all for today's episode and The Social Dilemma. As usual, thank you all so much for listening. Please, if you have a moment and you're listening on Apple Podcasts, please feel free to give me a review, give me a rating. You know what it is. And thank you so much for listening. I will see you on the next episode.